to be chosen. You see, the word chosen means to pick out. It means that a choice has to be made and you make a selection. For example, God can lead you and direct you, but ultimately you choose a husband or a wife. You choose the type of church and doctrine you want to follow. You choose to be a law-abiding citizen or not. But how do we answer the question, am I chosen by God? Am I called by God? Have I been picked out for something, for a purpose? Have I been divinely selected for something? The first thing I discovered when trying to find out if I'm chosen by God is that God's choices are not by our standards, nor are they according to our understanding. Let's imagine a man who has a hatred for God, a strong hatred for the things of God, and he's so overcome by this rage and fury that he decides to persecute Christians. He decides to make the lives of many Christians uncomfortable and difficult. His eyes are filled with rage at the sight of a Christian man or woman who lifts their hands up to praise the name of the Lord. This man is described to have ravaged, to have damaged the church in Jerusalem at one point. Can you imagine such a man? If you saw a man like that, let's be honest, many of us would think that he's the Antichrist. Many of us would think this man is possessed by the devil. Well, this man was Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. But why would God use such a person? Why would God choose to use a person who persecuted Christians? I believe that God wanted to demonstrate that his ways are not like our ways. He can take the worst of the worst. He can take a sinner, an outcast in society, and turn them into a powerful man or woman of God. So perhaps you're there. You're there simply wondering, am I chosen by God? Am I chosen to do something? Am I chosen to do something? Well, the Bible says in John 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I believe the biggest reason that we ask the question, am I chosen by God, is because we have not invested enough time in our relationship with the Lord for us to really tap into our calling. It's because we haven't really surrendered fully in our hearts and minds. And I mean surrender to the point where chasing God becomes like an obsession for us. There's a gift inside you, but you need to cultivate that gift. John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Meaning that as I decrease, as my personal ambitions decrease, as my worldly possessions decrease, then the God inside me will increase. The Holy Spirit will increase and begin to operate without measure in my life. So you are chosen by God. It's up to you to answer that call. And perhaps you're someone like me who always used to think that God only uses a select few. I thought that he handpicked the best of us. You know, those who can articulate themselves well, those who can speak with boldness and eloquently. I used to see preachers like Billy Graham and Miles Monroe and think, those are the kind of people God uses. And if you've ever thought along these lines, then let me tell you that this is not the right way of thinking. God has called all of us to perform different duties and tasks in his kingdom. Don't ever compare your calling to someone else. Be faithful to the Lord regardless of where you start off. And I would especially like to speak to someone who says, oh well, God would never choose me. What could God do with someone like me? I've done some bad things. There's plenty better people out there that he could choose. If you are there and feel that way, perhaps Saul of Tarsus becoming the Apostle Paul is one of the greatest examples that you are never too far beyond the reach of Jesus Christ. He can use you. Regardless of your mistakes, your sins, or your past, God can use you regardless of where you were born, regardless of your gender or race. You see, the Apostle Paul is one of the most influential voices in the Bible. But here's what he said in Acts 26 from verse 9. He said, "I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities." Paul details the evil things he did. He took the lives of many Christians. He took believers and in his hatred tried to make them blaspheme and speak against the Lord. How could God use such a person? Well, he did, and he still does. Paul did some despicable things, but he still had an encounter with God. He performed some horrible deeds, but God still chose him. And so to you, if you are asking whether or not you could ever be chosen by God, the answer is, yes, you can. At times, we equate being chosen by God to people who only preach to thousands and millions around YouTube. But you could be chosen to be an enabler, someone who enables the gospel to be spread. You could be a supporter, someone who offers support in a number of ways, enabling the gospel to be spread, all of which are vital roles. There are some people like Billy Graham, like Miles Monroe, people who have a greater calling, yes, but the sacrifice required of them is greater too. Then there are those who are chosen to be behind the scenes. They are away from the camera, away from the lights, but their call is also just as important. God is bigger than the men and women we have seen preaching. The body of Christ is greater than just a few people, and we are all called by God in some way.
Someone once said to me, "I wonder if the problem isn't that God is not speaking, but rather it's the fact that we're not listening." Now, I found this to be powerful because I thought about my own personal relationship with the Lord and how often do we go to God with requests? How often do we go to the Lord with our hands out wanting something? But, dear friend, I believe there ought to come a time in our lives where we go to God with the intention of hearing Him. There has to come a time in your life as a Christian where your prayer is, "Lord, speak to me. Speak to me concerning my family. Speak to me concerning my plans, my dreams, and ambitions. Speak to me concerning your will for my life." Now, how does God speak? And what are some of the signs that God is speaking to you? Well, God can speak to us by impressing something on our spirit. Many people have testified saying they had a strong urge to wake up and pray for someone, only to find that the person they did pray for was in desperate need of help or aid. Others have testified how they had an unusual strong feeling and urge to go a certain direction, in a different direction to their usual way, only to find that if they had gone that way, there was danger around the corner. I have even heard of people saying they were uneasy. They sensed something was off when a certain person came around, only to find out later on that that person was involved in occultic activity. So you see, the Lord can speak to you by impressing something on your spirit. Here are two verses that we can see this happening. Acts 17, verse 16. "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols." And also in Acts 18, verse 5. "When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. On both occasions, God, or the Spirit of God, made an impression on Paul that provoked, compelled, and called him to action. And to put this into context, we need to understand that Romans 8, verse 16, tells us the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, and in other translations say, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit, or joins with our spirit. This could be called intuition, impression, inner consciousness, or inspiration, but all in all, it comes in a number of different ways. Another way that God speaks is through a still, small voice, an inner voice deep within your heart. Have you ever had a moment where you've done something wrong, you've lied, and a few moments later, there is a voice deep in your heart that tells you, that's a lie. Tell the truth. Or perhaps you have spoken some harsh words to someone, and that inner voice speaks to you and says, you can't speak to someone like that. Apologize. This, I believe, is the guiding voice of the Holy Spirit, gentle but firm, convicting but never condemning, peaceful, never forceful. He's always leading you into truth, always leading you to do right in the sight of the Lord, even when no one is looking. In 1 Kings 19, verse 12, Elijah encounters the Lord, and the Bible says, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And this is one of the many ways that God speaks, in a still, small voice. Furthermore, God can speak to you through people. And by people, I don't just mean anyone. I mean through the counsel of godly, prayerful people. The Bible in Proverbs 15, verse 22, tells us plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. God can and often does confirm his message to you through the counsel of other God-fearing believers. When other people who have also sought after God's wisdom are in agreement and encourage you to take the step that you feel led to take, when they confirm the direction you're considering, it's a powerful sign that we're on the right path.
Are you standing in faith? Are you living by faith? Are you walking by faith? You see, faith is a life of action based on what you believe to be true. For example, the action of not worrying, that's a result of you having the faith that God is in control. The action of not trying to fix everything, that too is a result of you having the faith that God is in control. Jesus Christ said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Well, why did he say this? Because he wants you to have faith that he will take care of all your needs. Another way to understand or define faith can be summed up in the following way. Faith is doing your part, which is trusting God to do his part. Your part is to believe. That's all you need to do. And then you leave God to do his part. Your part is to stand on God's word. His word that says nothing is impossible with God. So let me ask you, are you doing your part? Are you believing and standing on God's word? Are you walking by faith and not by sight? You see, strong faith comes from knowing and believing that Jesus Christ not only rose from the dead, but that he defeated the devil, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. Strong faith comes from meditating on God's word. Strong faith is cultivated when you not only read the Word of God, but you internalize it. You ponder on it. You dwell on it. I would even go so far as saying strong faith comes as a product of great trials. Now, that's not something we would readily invite, but it is good to know that if we find ourselves in the midst of great trials, then strong faith can be produced in the process. When you think about some of the heroes of the faith in the Bible and all the trials they went through, you'll see that all of them had one thing in common. They were unshakable in their faith. They were strong in faith. Daniel, he was thrown into the lion's den, but he held on to God. Paul and Silas were beaten, chained up, and imprisoned, but they still praised God. Moses stood in front of the Red Sea, not knowing what would happen, but he called out to God. These are all great examples of men who stood their ground and trusted in the Lord. Even when all the odds were against them, they stayed in faith. No matter what they faced, their faith was not shaken. Their faith was not broken. And that was because they knew that the God whom they served was bigger, greater, more powerful than anything or anyone else they could ever come up against. We can learn a lot from the believers in the Bible and from how they dealt with adversity. Because even in the present day, we find ourselves in situations where our faith is put to the test. And then we must decide how we will respond. Now, your trial may not look like theirs. Your trial may not be a den of hungry lions or being chased by an Egyptian army into an enormous body of water. But it might seem just as hopeless. It may seem just as intimidating. But here's what the Bible says in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Saving money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.